glad to have these next guests with me, despite the technological nightmare. We've got two guests, okay, for a couple of reasons. Let me set this up. We've had both of them on before. Milo Yiannopoulos, of course, a big contributor to Breitbart, brilliant man and lovely. And he's also a super fan of another guest who is one of our first guests on the program, Dean Cain. So, Milo, Dean Milo.
Cheers, mate. Good to meet you, Milo.
Thanks so much for having me, Stephen. Nice to meet you, Dean.
Well, yeah, you're so civil now. You were like, Milo, you were geeking out about it over Twitter. Like, if you, I don't know anybody anything, but if you could introduce me to Dean Cain, I owe you one.
That wasn't quite what I said. I think what I said was, oh, yeah, I know that guy. Yeah, I guess that would be cool. I mean, if you really need a guest this week, I mean, sure.
Perfect.
I think I was way cooler about it than that.
Well, you said something interesting, Milo. So obviously, Dean, I mean, you know, Lois and Clark is what I grew up on. And then, Milo, what do you call it in the UK? You don't say Lois and Clark.
No, I think we call it The New Adventures of Superman, which is a terrible name.
Way to insult him right off the bat.
I'm aware of that, though. Actually, Andy Peters, who was a presenter out there in the UK, came on the show, and I was over there in the UK doing some promo, and I was aware every place you go, it's actually called something a little bit differently. They market it that way. That was back in the old days.
Like toilet cleaner.
Yes, exactly.
What do you call it there?
Toilet cleaner? They call it toilet cleaner. We call it – well, I don't know. I don't actually use it. I actually have –
I don't know, but maybe you need to wash out your toilet mouth, Milo, from the way you were talking and complaining about the technology before the break. Okay, so Milo, you're a big fan of The New Adventures of Superman. Dean, do you find that there's a different kind of fan in the UK versus the United States? Like, are they – I mean, obviously Milo's different, you know, because he just has a total crush on you. But, like, for the general fan –
oh, my God, shut up.
Well, you know, you find a different reaction everywhere. In some places – this was particularly true 20 years ago. It's not so much now because everything gets released at the same time. Internationally, you're showing something here on Netflix. It's all over the place, and you can get it anywhere. Before, it was about 3 to 6, 8 to 10 months, maybe sometimes a year before the show would air in another country. So there were certain areas that the show did very well, the UK, Australia, France, and there were places in Brazil. It's just odd where the show did well. But I don't find the fans to be tremendously different, no.
I would imagine that, like, in Egypt, they would have to blur out, like we talked about, Terry Hatcher's bosoms in the intro. But in France, they would just Photoshop it so you could see nipple.
And that's why I like France.
And in the UK, Milo, so, I mean, you guys have a different rating. Was that considered like a children's show there, or how was it seen?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was on around the time I got home from school.
Kindergarten at the time, which is great.
Yeah, because I'm like so young. Did I mention I'm really young?
Yes.
yeah, so your TV show was on when I was at school. Sorry about that. But I think it was on when I got there were two things you could watch when you got home from school. You could watch, I think, Star Trek Voyager or the Star Trek Deep Space Nine, or you could watch The New Adventures of Superman. I think they were on different channels. I don't think I know anybody who didn't watch it.
They only had three channels, by the way. There was BBC One, BBC Two, and Sky.
Right.
That's true. That's true, I believe.
This is
– yeah. We didn't have lots of channels here.
No, you don't have lots of channels like you do in the States, although most of it is entirely crap. We were given a cable box, my wife and
oh,
I.
Oh, come on. We invented most of your TV shows. You
know, that's true,
all
too.
All the good stuff.
Really?
All the good stuff. I mean, all the game shows, all the reality shows, all the stuff people like on Netflix is like remakes of 1990s and 1970s British TV shows. Orange is the New Black is a remake of Bad Girls from ITV in the 1990s. The one with Kevin Spacey, House of Cards, is a remake of something from BBC. I mean, we invented all your good TV.
Yeah.
I'm not going to argue with that.
You know, the problem is they all have to come to the United States to be successful. Milo's still upset that they let their number one draft pick get away. I mean, that's
16
tough.
16 times.
But you still have Canada as a bench warmer, Milo.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because you guys actually copied a lot of stuff from Canada. The Newsroom in Canada. The Larry Sanders Show. Newsroom in Canada was before the Jeff Daniels. There was one in Canada. It was before Curb Your Enthusiasm. It was before The Office. It was called The Newsroom in Canada. And it was uproariously funny and wildly inappropriate. But yeah, there's a lot of similarities between Canadian television, I think, and English television.
That's quite an indictment on culture, isn't it, that you use Canada as an inspiration.
Yes, this is true. Canada is a silly place, but and there are. It's like kind of like where you're from, Milo. Where I was from, we didn't have conservatives. We had liberals and we had liberal separatists in Quebec, which is odd. So okay, so we have a call. We have an eclectic mix. So Dean Kane, last time you were on, I use his full name, Dean Kane.
That's all right. It's been happening my whole life.
You're not
it's
Dean.
No, I'm too little. Dean Kane, just two little pops.
Before we get into that, have you seen the sketch where the guy who does this picture-perfect impression of Kojak, and he references you?
No, I want to
He comes back, and he's like, he's coming back as Kojak, but beating up hipsters. He's like, you hipsters don't know what a real man's like with your Dean Kanes, your David Boreanaz's, your pretty boys. So he just like uses you as a reference as this pretty boy.
As a non-real man?
As a pretty boy. That's what he's...
That's all right. That's
I mean, you're prettier than Kojak.
It's a pretty boy.
See, I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true. Both of his examples are wrong. I'm about as far removed as from a hipster as it's possible to get. And my two crushes were Dean Kane and David Boreanaz. So yeah, I think it's completely wrong. I mean, on the one hand, you've got, you know, the very sort of morally ambiguous and complex character of Superman. And on the other, you've got this like brooding undead dude. These aren't hipster icons. These are, you know, he's entirely wrong about that. I'm sure it's very funny, but it's horseshit.
Plus, I'll tell you also, we're a couple of hipster, whatever, pretty boys that might whip Kojak's ass.
Yes, I know. No, it's a very funny sketch, though. It's a guy off Broadway, and he's very funny. We got 30 seconds or 3 minutes? All right, we have to time down in 30 seconds. Gay Jared is producing today, and he's, as you know, it's a nightmare. So here's what I want to do.
Must
I want to
be very much on time.
I want to give you guys the
which is
floor.
Funny. He must be the only on-time gay in the world.
All right. Okay, hold on. We have to go to a break here. We'll come back, and then we'll talk politics. We'll be back with Dean Kane, Milo Yiannopoulos, and Gay Jared will be fired. Louder with Crowder. Stay tuned. So glad to be back. Okay, so we'll talk politics because we have an eclectic mix, and we were just talking about Kojak, and Dean Kane doesn't like being called a pretty boy. I saw you in American Gladiator. I get that you're an athlete, okay? And having worked in the entertainment industry, I'm sure it must bother you because all of these actors – here's my theory, Dean. And then sorry, Milo, and then we'll bring you on and talk politics, both of you. Here's my theory, Dean. I'm a pretty big guy, right? I'm about 6'2", 2 1/4".
Oh, wow.
And I've been on – yeah, it's in Hollywood, I'm gargantuan.
You're gigantor, yeah.
I was in a film called The Covenant where it was like Chase Crawford, Steven – all these like the pretty boys, the CW pretty boys, yeah. And here's my
– 5'10", 130.
Right. Yes, exactly. And, you know, but they got the six-pack. Now, all of these actors, right, they're given these training tips and stuff. Dean, let's be honest. Steroids are so common. You were an actual athlete. You played football. As a general rule, though, Hollywood consists of drama geeks, only now you have to turn drama geek into Batman. And it's like, oh, I can't do a push-up, but I have to be 220 within 3 months. How common are the steroids in the industry? Because I know several people who've done them.
I don't know anybody who's done them, to be honest.
Real? Oh, come on.
I really don't. I mean, I only knew like 3 football players who did. People keep – something about me, they just keep the drugs away. Maybe I just I frown upon them so openly. But so I've never – I don't know anybody who has. I mean, I look at somebody like The Rock and the way he is jacked up so much. And
of
I think
course.
He's probably got a little help. And that's too much, and I just worry about him in about 10 years. But other than that, I mean, whether it's a little Zac Efron who's, you know, as tiny as they – I mean, he's tiny. But yeah, he's shredded and ripped. I don't know if these guys are doing steroids, so I really don't have a clue. I know I've never done it. That's for sure, and I really don't know anybody who has.
All right, fine. There you go. He's.
I really, it's the truth. I mean, I wish I could tell you otherwise.
Dean Kane, the politician. Let's get into politics. Let's get into politics. So, Dean, you said you were a libertarian last time you were on, and then we have Milo, who, for the record, is super gay, but is socially more conservative than you. So,
I'm really not that much of a homosexual. I mean, you know, I don't even like them. I don't like them. If I were straight, I would be the biggest homophobe. I swear. You know, like I don't even like them very much. I don't know if I'm that socially conservative. I mean, I know that I'm not a libertarian because, you know, a lot of my friends are libertarians. So many of my friends and colleagues are libertarians. But I sort of think, you know, it's all well and good until you realize that, you know, actually it would be better if your daughter did not grow up to be a crack whore. It is quite good to enforce some morality and maybe put incentives in the tax system to encourage people to behave well. And, you know, the other thing about libertarians is, you know, on the whole, libertarians are such children. They're obsessed with two things. They're obsessed with weed and hacking. And all they ever want to hear about is, like, where the next eighth is coming from and Edward bloody Snowden. This is all they have to talk about. All they want to talk about, weed and hacking. I mean, they're sort of perpetually 17. It drives me insane. I mean, libertarianism is, you know, it's some great intellectual – a philosophical sort of history and heritage of this movement, classical liberalism, J.S. Mill, and all the rest of it. And all they want to talk about is weed and hacking. And it just drives me up the wall, because there's some really useful and interesting things that they could say about the proper limits of government, but they never do. I'm guessing that you, Dean, are not obsessed with weed or hacking, but,
no.
You know, but this is the impression I always get from libertarians.
Well, that I think it may be a slightly different definition in the UK as it is here, or the way I look at it, maybe I'm just defining it differently, because I'm very much a small government guy. Weed, as far as I'm concerned, legalize, regulate, tax it. I could care less. I don't smoke it. My son doesn't smoke it. I'm a father of a 15-year-old.
Crap. I thought you were about to say I'm a father of 15. I was like, what?
Well, that's entirely possible, but not to my knowledge.
Watching him in the spandex, I knew that he would be fertile.
Yeah, Dean Cain is so fertile, you look at him wrong, you get pregnant. Sorry, go ahead, Dean.
Hey, you get twins. You know, it's you know, so I'm a small government guy. I'm just socially a little more liberal, and that sort of lines me up in at least in the United States, I believe, more as a libertarian. But I'm more hawkish when it comes to things dealing with the military and foreign policy than a lot of libertarians, and so it's hard to really define myself, but my views socially tend to be very libertarian.
Let me ask you this, because I think this could be an interesting discussion. So you saw this, you know, the SCOTUS, the same-sex marriage, were basically okay. It's across all states now, right? It's a thing. Now, my opinion, again, I have been called a libertarian by conservatives, and by libertarians I'm called too conservative. It seems to me that it was going that way. You had, was it 37 states were going that way or had voted on it? They had same-sex marriage. And now it seems like there's an unnecessarily hostile environment toward it because they feel like it was an abuse of the courts. As a libertarian, where do you line up? Do you think it was something that needed to happen through the courts, Dean, or you would have rather seen it state by state? And then Milo, we'll go to you, even though you're from the UK, but you can have an opinion on states' rights.
My understanding of the way the Constitution is laid out, that would be a states' right issue. So I do feel like the Supreme Court did litigate from the bench, and they I just don't know that's the right way to do it. Not litigate, but I mean they actually created a law from the bench, and so
right.
That's a bit of activist court. I don't agree with that so much. I'm completely for same-sex marriage, don't get me wrong. I have no problem with it whatsoever, but I do think that was a states' right issue.
Yeah. Milo?
I'm more skeptical about same-sex marriage, mostly because I think it makes homosexuals really boring. I mean, the only good thing about being gay was, you know, it was being able to sort of break all the rules, stumble out of a club bleary-eyed at 4 p.m. on a Monday afternoon, and nobody could judge you. You know, it was a good thing about being gay. It's not gay marriage. They want us to. This is just society's way of controlling dissident subcultures. You know, they just want us to sort of settle down, get a house and a car and adopt a child and have a terrible 9-to-5 job and become just like everyone else. I mean, being gay, you could grow up. Being gay, it's pretty awful. It's pretty, you know, it's confusing. You feel, you know, miserable half the time. Yeah, I've never been the victim of any sort of, you know, unpleasantness. But, you know, generally, it's not a sort of happy way to be. Your reward for that is for the rest of your life. You get to behave terribly and nobody can say anything. You know, this sort of gay marriage is incredibly depressing. I think it's awful for gay, you know, gay culture in general has become so sort of bourgeois and depressing and miserable. You know, so I'm not a fan of that. My thoughts about the US are that what I don't like is a sort of setting of minority against minority, in this case, sort of religious rights versus homosexuals. And I think, personally, as a gay man looking at what's happening in the world today, my view is that sort of leftist, rightist, sort of LGBT activists are now, you know, pretty much speak with the voice and force of the establishment. And it's people with faith that have to effectively, in some ways, are the insurgents and have to constantly reaffirm their rights and constantly be vigilant about being bullied by the media, being bullied by establishments of all kinds. And when you see things like the Memories Pizza, you know, these sort of poor pizza shop owners who get hectored and pilloried and bullied into closing down their store because they don't want to make a cake for lesbians. I mean, you know, who would endorse lesbian marriage? You know what the domestic violence rate is for lesbians? I mean, just, you know, it's just
I actually I don't.
They beat the crap out of each other all the. No, they beat the crap out of each other all the time. I mean, you know, I can well imagine if I owned a cake shop, I'm not making you a cake. It's just going to end up on her face. Bullying these poor people who just, you know, these reporters, they go looking for trouble. They go searching around for somebody who will, you know, if they call around 50 people and finally they find someone in, you know, what you would call zone or whatever, you know, some middle of nowhere place.
Wait.
They finally find somebody who will say, no, I'm not comfortable with this, and then they plaster them all over the media. That to me is the real issue in
the
US.
Real issue here is that this is syndicated terrestrially, and you are going to give us a lot of work, Milo. But I, it doesn't surprise me at all. I will tell you this. Most
of like, I'm otherwise. Just saying, you know, you look at the statistics on lesbian domestic violence. You can look up an article that I wrote for Breitbart, which is called Attack of the Killer Dykes. And basically, you look I'm just making your life worse now. I'm sorry. And this is the name of the article. I'm just merely quoting a piece of journalism for your listeners. You know, if you look this up, you know, I put all the statistics down, you know, and it's the argument on gay marriage, whether it's lesbians or otherwise, is pretty much gone now, pretty done and dusted. Whether or not it's for the Supreme Court to legislate or whether it's a states' rights thing seems to me secondary to what's happening in society generally, which is the you know, the sort of anxious, hand-wringing, pearl-clutching, white middle-class bloggers who are setting minority against minority from, you know, their perches at Vox and BuzzFeed and Gawker and Vice and places like that, you know, pitting the religious against gays, pitting Hispanics against blacks. And that, for me, the next 10 years really of American politics is going to be not just about men and women fighting, but about minorities in open warfare with one another. And the gay marriage issue really is most interesting in that respect. The problem in the US is that I think religious people are having their rights trampled on every day in service of this tiny minority who don't even care.
Well, that's a good point. You're far too salient points. Let's go back to talking about BBC. Here's the deal.
they paid me the big bucks.
Yes. That's why
you
they
warned me. He was smart, Stephen.
He has like three
of the words he said.
He has no business being on this program at all. It's offensive, really, to our audience. What's funny is we're going to have Carly Fiorina on like next week or the week after. It's just to follow this.
That's what makes it such good. Watching, Stephen, that's it.
Or listening, depending on who's listening. No, I agree, and I do appreciate, you know, Milo's point of view. I think that a lot of people just don't know how to sort of package what you're saying, Milo, coming out of your mouth. Now, Dean, real quick, because you have those headphones and you got a bunch of street cred last time we had you on the show, for those who are listening terrestrially. I mean, those are hardcore gamer headphones. Are you a gamer?
I am a gamer. My son is a big-time gamer, so, of course, he's like, Dad, these are the best headphones. Wear those. And I'm like, oh, okay. And, yeah, I'm a gamer. I play World of Warcraft. It's pretty much the only game. That and some Call of Duty.
So have you been up to speed on the Gamergate issue? Because, you know, Milo was at the forefront.
I've heard this. What is that? I don't even know what that is.
Oh, God. Milo, do we have time? Can we
I can summarize it as quick as possible.
Okay, let's summarize it.
I'm writing a book on this. I'm having to learn how to pitch it really quickly. Basically, the culture wars, which we're familiar with, you know, feminists and, authoritarians of all stripes who want to clamp down on creative freedom, tell people that art forms make people sexist and violent and racist and all the rest of it. No evidence for any of this. It's all crazy. Finally, these wars arrived in video games last year. And so gamers, unlike any other fandom, unlike comic books, fantasy, sci-fi, all of whom have toppled over and taken it and started self-flagellating about, you know, what an awful, diversity-less, you know, terrible, straight, white, male, patriarchal kind of pursuit this is, gamers said, you know what, actually, no, wait, you're wrong about this. We're hugely diverse. We're very welcoming. There is no evidence that video games make anybody more violent, more sexist, or anything else. Get out of our hobby. We're not interested in your political warfare in something that we love, which we do precisely to escape from this kind of nonsense in the rest of the world. And so that's basically it. It's a sort of pitched battle between ordinary gamers on the one hand and on the other, the ranked masses of the media, all of whom bought this line about them being misogynistic losers, feminist sort of critics and academics, and basically the whole establishment. And on the virtuous side was gamers and me, and I was reporting about these guys from sort of August, I think, last year, maybe September, about, you know, their fight.
And Adam Baldwin came in and was pretty big on it.
Oh, of course. No, but, you know, but Adam Baldwin is like a hero figure to these guys. You know, I think it was only sort of 6 months later he decided, you know what, not this, I'm just going to get into the trenches and really fight this with them. Quite rightly, he was a bit worried about, you know, all the allegations that were being flung around. But of course, you know, Adam Baldwin, Christina Hoff Sommers, American Enterprise Institute, various other people. But yeah, basically, it was, you know, you all know this, Dean, as an actor, as a Hollywood guy. You know, every once in a while, somebody complains about something. You know, this is sort of sexist, misogynist representation, this unrealistic body.
All right, we need you to wrap it up, Milo, just before we go to the break.
He was summarizing quickly.
Yeah, I know. That's the problem with these, you know.
I'll tell you what.
I think I'm done. I'm sorry.
Hold on. You know what? We're going to go to a break. We're going to go to a break.
I can summarize it. I promise
you. Okay, go ahead.
I'm completely on the gamer's side, 100%.
Oh, there we go.
Well, Dean Cain.
If only we could get David Boreanaz. Louder with Crowder. Go to the website now because we're going to uncensored web version. For those of you listening terrestrially, stay tuned. We are out in uncharted territory. And apparently this is necessary when Milo comes on as a guest because Gay Jarrett is going to have to hit the oh crap button multiple times throughout that last segment. So for those of you who are still here, so Milo was just describing Gamergate. So I'm surprised, Dean, that you, I guess with the Comic-Con thing, maybe they wouldn't have brought it to your attention, but Adam Baldwin got in a lot of trouble even at an Australian Comic-Con where some people tried to ban him. Like, it's that big of a deal now where these Gamergate social justice warriors people, you know, they're turning on people like you. So
they can turn on me all they want. They can turn 100% because I have no qualms whatsoever. I've been playing games, all these types of games, my entire life. I've also shot the real guns and done the real things, and I promise you, as my son has, there is no correlation. I don't buy it for a second. If somebody's predisposed to do something, the game is not going to kick them over the edge. If they watch play Grand Theft Auto, it's not going to work that way. It's a difference when you have a real weapon in your hand or when you're really doing something to somebody. I am totally on the gamer's side. If they want to throw me under the bus or come at me, go ahead.
They're going to be very happy to hear that. My headline is going to read, Superman supports Gamergate. They're going to be very happy to hear that.
I'll put my stamp, my stamp of approval on it, no doubt.
Milo is going to chase you down like a gang from the film Warriors from 1979. It's going to be a pack of gay Englishmen, like instead of the baseball Furies, and they're going to come at you just to take you out for a nice steak dinner and most likely call you back, Dean.
Perfect. I'll take it.
I never call them back in the morning. Don't spread scandalous lies.
All right. That is fair. Okay, so we talked about that, and then let's go to this real quick because Milo is very interested in American politics. Dean, do you have someone who you're favoring right now in this presidential primary?
I got to tell you, no. It's okay. Really when there's 16 – is it 16 candidates
now? Yeah, I think so.
Republican, 16 candidates for the Republican nomination. There's three. Are there three for the Democrats?
Well, there's Clinton, Sanders.
O'Malley.
Oh, yeah, who got in all kinds of trouble for saying all lives
all
matter.
All lives matter. That's a really controversial statement. I'm glad he – apologize for that.
Yeah.
I'll say all lives matter, and I'm not going to apologize.
Oh, hold on. Gay Jarrett is chiming in. Al Gore, if he can get away from the hooker's feet.
Yeah, there's a crowd trying to push Al Gore now, apparently, into the race. Which
they literally would
hilarious.
Have to wheelbarrow him into
the
race.
Push him, but it's going to take a lot of effort. It doesn't matter. Just push him. Al Gore, wow.
Yeah, Al Gore. I was going to compare him to someone else who was a conservative. There are few people creepier who have been around than Al Gore.
I'll buy that.
Yeah, he's a creepy dude. And it's, by the way, if people are going to throw on speculation. Here you go, Milo. You said you have the most fantastic gaydar there is. People threw around all the speculation that Rick Perry was gay. You know, that was the rumor that floated in the
You're
last
You're just asking me to libel people now, aren't you?
Yes. Yes, I am.
You have a much stronger defamation law in the UK.
Oh, all right. Well, okay. You can just
If you look at sort of Democratic candidates like Jeb Bush, no way. if you look at sort of, the gaydar, Rick Perry, I would say total homo.
Really? No, okay, I wasn't going to end up Rick Perry. Now you're going off. I was going to say Al Gore. I've always thought Al Gore was gay.
Oh, no. He's so unfashionable. No. He has no personal style whatsoever. He has nothing. I mean, Rick Perry's got a certain swagger. Rick's, you can sort of tell Rick might, yeah, maybe. No, but Al Gore is way too unfashionable to be homosexual. We will not accept him. We will not have him. He's not getting in.
Okay.
He's rejected.
Let me ask you this. This has been my suspicion for a while, Milo. And yes, we're totally pigeonholing you here because, we have a gay past. Hillary Clinton, what do you think? You think she could...
I think she's a lesbian?
Yeah.
Ooh, well, she's got that sort of cold steel behind the eyes that a lot of them have, hasn't she? She's got the terrible...
She's got the devil's eyes.
One size too small. No, do you know what I mean? That sort of dead fish eyes, you know?
Yeah.
Just sort of, or maybe bird eyes. They're just
doll's
sort of,
eyes.
There's something of the ineffable. There's sort of endless abyss behind those eyes of cold, dark sociopathy. And it's sort of thing you see quite often in lesbians. So, I don't know, maybe. We're allowed to say that. We hate each other. Don't let anybody ever tell you that gays and lesbians...
It's like the Jets and the Sharks, the lesbians and the gays.
I don't know
and...
where this idea ever came from, gays and lesbians get along, like each other. We hate each other.
Werewolves and vampires.
Yeah.
Right. Is she a lesbian? If I didn't know anything about her and I just saw her, I would say yes.
Yeah, I've thought that was a very reasonable suspicion for a long time, and I remember saying it at a meeting room at MSNBC, and they were like shocked. I was like, come on, even if you don't think it, you can't be shocked. You know, like if she were my neighbor and I moved in, and assuming, you know, I didn't know what a horrible person she was, to begin with, I would be friendly with her and I would like tiptoe around like, oh, is she not? Let's be careful, you know, when we give her a housewarming gift.
Yeah, I mean, the lesbians and housewarming gifts are always very dangerous. You know, you give her the verbena instead of the vanilla. I mean, it's bad. You just end, you'll end up served for dinner, you know? There are scary people.
Here's something I wanted to talk about. Sorry, Dean. We're so sorry. Dean's such a nice...
Hey, I'm enjoying this show. That's fun.
Did you guys see the run-in with Ben Shapiro and the tranny on CNN? Transgender. I know tranny's a hate
Zoe
word.
Turd.
Zoe Turd, yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. That was funny, actually. It was very funny. I laughed. I thought Ben was hysterical. I mean, Zoe grabbing him by the head, by the neck.
And that's a sociopath.
The neck. Yeah, well, look. Threaten me, Zoe. You know, go ahead, threaten Ben. Threaten me. Threaten Steven Crowder.
Well, that's where I was wondering.
It was a threat. It was a straight threat.
It's assault. Shocking. It's assault.
I was like,
you know what was
what?
Worse about it? Is, I mean, it's and this is Gavin McInnes's point. She said, you know, cut that out, sir. You're going home in an ambulance. Nobody goes home in ambulances. That's like an example. Ambulance takes you home. Your ambulance takes you home. Something has gone wrong.
You're going to go home in a hearse, little guy.
I mean, it's Gavin McInnes's joke, but it's a good point.
It's a good joke. No, it's a good point. And, you know, it's funny because Gavin and I talked about this, either a swan dive versus a belly flop. And sometimes a belly flop is necessary. And I really like Ben. I mean, full disclosure, I've known Ben for a long time and had him on this show before it was even a show when he was doing Primetime Propaganda. But I almost feel like this is a barbarian, Zoe. And it's not because Zoe wants to be a woman, and I won't accept that Zoe is a woman. I don't care. It's because Zoe is threatening someone to put him – you can't be civil with a barbarian. You know, I feel like it should have been a knock the hand off the shoulder, don't touch me, Bobby, instead of like, oh, that's inappropriate.
Well, that's why I said if it was a Steven Crowder or a Dean Cheney put his hand on it, it would be a different response.
Yeah, but Zoe would be charging me with assault. That's the problem.
Right, or me. But
this is interesting.
Ben is a very mental guy, and he went – mental, not quite mental.
Yeah. Are you mental?
That would have been a great answer.
Well, did you see Zoe afterward? Here's the thing.
Not apologize?
Well, no, not apologize, but here's the deal.
I will admit to it. I saw something where he admitted to it. She, whatever, I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Well, you're going to get flack for that. Here's the thing.
I saw him as a helicopter pilot. That's where I knew him until he assaulted
Yeah,
Shapiro.
Ben Shapiro. Well, here's the deal, too, okay? Zoe afterwards on Facebook, Milo, if you weren't seeing, Zoe blocked me, but every single thing Zoe was tweeting was like, look who's trending on Facebook. It's all about me. You know, that kind of deal. And everything was like, look, I'm trending. And you could just, and now Zoe is turning on Bruce Jenner, Caitlyn Jenner to get more airtime. This is someone who just craves attention.
Well, you know, some people say that transgenderism is a psychiatric disorder that ought to be in the DSM somewhere near, for example, bipolar or narcissistic personality disorder.
Yeah.
And they get very upset when you say this. But, you know, just look at the prominent transsexuals, and even not prominent, if you happen to know any personal life, I mean, I know one, you know, and tell me that they don't have a touch of NPD about them. I mean, these people crave attention more than they crave, you know, surgery. I mean, it's an extraordinary thing. They do seem broken that way. What worries me more is that we're creating this sort of privileged class of victims, I think, in America, where if you belong to a particular group or you have a certain disease, you can basically get away with saying anything. I didn't find her threat on the TV as shocking as I found her agreeing with somebody on Twitter.
Well, let me say something. You know what I found shocking?
Like
you know what I found shocking? And this is what I would have done differently, and I think Ben probably handled it better than I would have. But when right away he's like, well, that's mildly inappropriate, and they go, well, you used masculine pronouns. Basically, like right away, no one like, hey, a tranny just assaulted a Jewish lawyer on television. You know, my reaction, they're going, well, you said he to someone who formerly had a cock. How dare you?
Like, no, she still got it. I think she's still he.
I don't think Zoe does.
One.
I know Bruce Caitlin does.
Oh, no.
You know that?
Okay,
yeah, Caitlin does. Well, it's like 90-something percent of them don't do it.
But she went on, I mean, there's a satirist, a great satirist called Godfrey Elphick, who's a sort of social media satirist, and he takes the piss out of feminist. Anyway, he's absolutely great, and you must follow him. But he tweeted her, because he likes to goad sort of very left-wing celebrities pretending to agree with their points of view. So they sort of get locked into conversation, and then he drops bomb on them. But he referred to Ben Shapiro as a neo-Nazi, or to Ben Frisner as a supporter as a neo-Nazi, and she replied, agree. Anyway, hang on a second. I'm pretty sure when you had your hand around his shoulder, I saw a yarmulke. I'm pretty sure he's not a neo-Nazi. Just going to throw that out there. I mean, if somebody else called a prominent Jewish journalist a neo-Nazi, I mean, you can't even imagine what the result would be. But this is an example.
Well, you know what's funny, though? I will say this. While we're on the thread of anti-Semitism, my dad, when I sent him the video, my dad, literally, and my dad is funnier than anyone who's on. He's just brilliant. He calls me up and literally not even a hello. Let's go. Hello. He goes, that little Jew's going to lawyer up, man. I was like, but he knows Ben too. He was like, oh man, that's all he said. And he, you know, listen, I mean, it's just, and Ben would laugh if he knew it. Obviously, it sounds terrible out of context, but we were sitting there and we were just falling over to just laughing. It's like, here's the crazy thing, Molly. We've talked about this. And this is something I've talked about. Well, you understand this, Dean, because you're a healthy guy and you're a big guy, right? We avoid this, there's this whole GMOs thing. I've never heard anyone else make this argument. Let's just make a physiological statement here, okay? We avoid GMOs and we want organic food. I don't, but most people do. Why? A big part of it is they want to avoid xenoestrogens, which basically mimic estrogen in the body. It's very cancerogenic. It's very bad for men to have higher than normal levels of estrogen. It's also very bad for women to have higher than normal levels of testosterone, but not as toxic as estrogen, right? That's a huge thing for men's health.
Although it's very good for your skin.
Actually, no, not for men. It's not. But here's the thing, right? So we try and do all that, and we want the FDA labeling, we want the USDA, right? We protest them, no Monsanto, no GMOs. Yet when we're injecting actual estrogen into a guy's ball sack, we all turn a blind eye and say, well, it's their choice. It's completely healthy. I think that people right now, I mean, statistically, we don't have long-term studies. You are going to put these people into a shallow, early cancerous grave, and no one wants to talk about that. We know what estrogen and hormones do to the male body.
They'll never die of cancer because they've all taught themselves first. I mean, the Johns Hopkins research proved, and they were the first university to do this. They no longer do the studies. What it showed is not only is there no improvement in suicide rates post-surgery, but most studies show that more people commit suicide after surgery than they would have done if they didn't have it. So they're not even going to get to way before the cancer starts metastasizing, they'll already have hanged themselves in their living room. So I don't think we need to worry about cancer.
Well, you can put
on that
it
bright note.
Yeah, on that bright note. No, but I mean, Dean, you're socially more liberal, but don't you think we get to a point where it's like Ben said? He said, "At what point am I required to participate in your delusion?" Did you see?
Well, see, that's the thing. I support Ben's right not to participate 100%. I personally, if somebody wants to do that, go ahead.
Right.
It's not my business. Rock and roll. If you want to hurt that yourself, or do that to yourself, or change your opinion, go ahead. I that's where I leave you alone. But don't make me change my behavior to accommodate yours.
Well, you played sports. So yes. What about this? What about, like Fallon Fox? I've written about Fallon Fox, male to female transgender who now beats the crap out of
women.
Not
fair.
No.
Period. End of story. Not fair. And if a woman wants to change and become a man and come play football, go ahead.
Yeah, that's something you never see, though.
Because you get killed.
Yeah, I know. It's one of you never see the female to male transition in a contact sport.
It's unfair.
Well, the trajectory of pressure is only ever in one direction, and that's because, for example, the same people who want all of women to be allowed into men's spaces and want to be able to take over men's sports are the same people who are complaining that women's football is less highly remunerated. Well, it's less highly remunerated because it's incredibly fucking dull, enormously boring.
I disagree with you. I disagree with you. I hate soccer, but I think soccer is a woman's sport. It's just the same as the men, so it's a wash to me.
Well, I agree with you in general. It is a sport for girls, but there are boy girls and girl girls, and the boy girls are faster and better, and they make more money, and that's perfectly reasonable. But you never see people who want boys injected into girls' sports. Of course they don't.
Well, it's even funny, you know, at a local grappling tournament, there was this girl who was looked like Chaz Bono, was clearly transitioning to become a man. I mean, at Hormone, had a little bit of peach fuzz, was clearly going through it, yet still competed as a woman at the grappling tournaments. It's not fair. I mean, and why? Because she, who wants to be he, knows that she would be clobbered by men. Here's, and I've talked about this, Dean, and people get really mad. Again, if we're going to make the physiological argument, I'm a huge MMA fan. Christiane, she used to be Santos. Her name, they just call her Cyborg now. You know, she's the 145, the 145 champion in the division where Rousey isn't fighting. So she was in Strikeforce. So Milo, I'll summarize this quickly for you. Let me show you how one summarizes quickly.
Shut up.
This Cyborg broad, right? Just dominates women. Just wrecks them. You know, like Gorilla Hulk smash. And it's not even close. And the thing is, she was stripped of her belt at one point because I found out at one point in her career she had used steroids. Okay. Fallon Fox has used steroids his whole life. They're called balls. Now, let's say the biggest juiced out, like you're talking about, you know, Dean the Rock or Arnold in his prime.
I'm not saying
Okay. Arnold in his prime.
He looks big.
Arnold in his prime who admitted to it, right? Walking human pincushions. Let's say Russian athletes in the 60s or 70s. Let's just use that.
Or East German, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. If a man is on steroids, the highest priced designer steroids humanly possible, they still don't enjoy the hormonal advantage over me that I enjoy over a woman. As a matter of fact, it would probably be tenfold more me to a woman.
Agreed.
And once you
do about the hockey thing, right? Like the women's, the American women's Olympic hockey team plays high school hockey teams and loses. High school boys hockey team and loses. They consider it to be really tough preparation for the women for the Olympic competitions. The women's Olympic hockey team play like high school boys and lose, but they think that's basically the best team they can find to play against.
And that's
it's called testosterone.
It's a wrink full of
I didn't believe that when I first read it, but it's absolutely true.
Oh, it's absolutely. Well, and also, listen, when you're talking about women's hockey, you're talking about a rink full of Hillary Clintons, if I've ever seen one. Actually, I'll tell you what, my wife is gorgeous, and all of her cousins look like her, and they all play hockey. I was like, are you kidding me? It's a non-contact version, though, too, women's hockey. You're not allowed to hit.
But you're always worried. You know, don't want to break that face. You know, like, what are you doing this for? You have nothing to prove. You're thin and gorgeous and wonderful. And you have all of the sort of social power you could ever want over every man that you ever come into contact with. Why do you? You got nothing to prove. You don't need to hit this ball into a. Just stay home. You know, like, why? Just don't get out of bed. Why are you doing this?
Well, that's an interesting point. I think one that is missed on Dean because he just has to beat women off with a stick. Men do all this stuff because eventually, you know, they want to have sex. You know, like they want to compete. It's like, look, I put the ball through the hoop. Mate with me. Yes, exactly. That's a big part of like testing yourself and improving. Women don't have to be funny. Women don't have to be good at sports. Women don't have to have a lot of money because we want you anyway.
They don't have to do anything. I mean, they don't even have to work out these days. You know, they probably should. No, it's perfectly true. I mean, there's a reason sex is the reason we made it to the moon. Sex is the reason we have the internet. Sex is the reason that we, you know, that human civilization has developed as it has. And that's why men do it and not women. It's not sort of entrenched patriarchy and sexism. Because men have the competitive aspirational drive in them because they want to have sex with more women. You know, that's why men go out and build things. It's not because they're, you know, sort of hangover stereotypes from an older sort of, you know, heterogeneous oppressive era. It's because men want to have sex with women, so they want to impress them. I mean, this is not rocket science or some sort of remarkable sociological insight, but it's something that is now completely taboo to express anywhere in the media in America today.
Yeah, well, Dean doesn't understand it because he would just have to walk out and go, you.
I'll full disclosure, I want to have sex with women. I'm just going to throw it out there.
Well, this is the internet, so this is the right place. We can find you many suitors.
My son is 15, so I clearly have had sex at least once.
At least once. This is true.
You've broken my heart.
Milo was just hoping.
I was sure he was a homosexual. I mean, did you see that outfit? I mean, did you see the outfit? And come on, Terry Hatcher is a gay guy's idea of what a beautiful woman is like. She's absolutely beautiful. But if a man was asked to describe the most beautiful woman in the world, he would describe Terry. I mean, that's what it is. She has so many gay fans from Desperate Housewives. They're all homosexual. So, obviously, you know, the outfit, the spandex, Terry Hatcher, clearly gay. But no.
So you're saying she's the ultimate beard.
He hatches your beard. My God. No, no. See, it's my early, my teenage gaydar was not as refined then as it is now.
Yep.
Well, I guess that's just sort of a something, you know, we've talked about. Listen, I'm a Christian, I'm a conservative, and so you know where I line up on like the same-sex marriage issue as a societal, you know, societal ramifications. But I've also sort of broken with a lot of Christians where I think people have sexual proclivities, just like, you know, I prefer blondes to brunettes. And I just even was thinking about it. You know, I was watching Lois and Clark looking at Terry Hatcher. Milo was watching New Adventures of Superman looking at Dean Cain.
Something for everybody.
No, that's why it was such a good show. I mean, you know, it was, you know, I had got my sort of sociopathic dark kind of destroy the world urges out with Lex Luthor. The guy who played Lex Luthor, his name I always forget, it was terrific.
John Shea.
That's the one. You know, and he really, like, he was so good in that role. I mean, just magnificent. Probably the best Lex Luthor, you know, so good.
Gene Hackman
and,
you know, was pretty good.
It was a great show. It had something for everybody. And, of course, it was about, you know, it was set in a newspaper, so it was perfect for me.
Yes. Well, also, of course, Dean Cain has done much more than just Superman. We don't want to be those people who are like, what was it like doing that at one time?
But it doesn't ever bother me at all. If I wasn't working, that'd be a problem. But I'm fine.
Full disclosure, Dean, okay? You don't have to answer this. Do you have the kind of screw you money where if you never wanted to do anything again, you wouldn't have to?
Absolutely not.
Really? Well,
if you're listening to this and you have a commercial for toothpaste in Japan, I am there.
Hey, listen, I'd be there faster than you could sign the contract, really. No, that kind of money, I mean, if I sold all my assets, sure. But I've got a lot of assets, so I want to keep those up and going. So, no, I don't have that kind of money yet.
Right. Well, I always – because, you know, a lot of people have sort of these misconceptions about what people make in the entertainment industry sometimes. And there are some people, you know, who are ringing that register really highly. But TV, too, I mean, obviously, listen, you weren't begging on the street, you were paid well. But TV has – the salaries have just skyrocketed, like, in the last decade. And I think you have kids growing up now who don't really realize that for a long time there was sort of this division, right? And now it's like, I mean, you have – I mean, these salaries you see in TV are just unreal. It first started – the first one was Friends, right? Wasn't it one of them was being paid $1 million an episode?
All of them ended up at $1 million an episode. Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah, but you know, that's the funny thing is we were shooting on the Warner Brothers lot. We were there for a full year, and then two new shows came and bookended us on the stages. One of them was called ER, and the other was called Friends. And both of those shows just went berserk after a year. And we were always there before them, and we were there after them. They'd come in, they'd shoot, they'd leave. We're still there. It was grueling what we were shooting on Lois and Clark, and we didn't quite enjoy the popularity they did. It was kind of, especially the guys coming for Friends, they would come in. I mean, we were there for 7 hours before they showed up, but they'd come in, do a read through, work out at the gym, and leave. I was like, that's the job I should have had.
They were Matthew Perry was
which
working
role
out at the
was
gym.
Taken in Friends?
Well, which role? You know, it wasn't written. You know. There was nothing in there I could do. Those guys were fantastic. Yeah. Matt LeBlanc originally was like supposed to be the hot, sexy dude, and then they just saw how funny he was, and he became Joey. Because if you watch the early version,
yeah,
it had to find itself. And Matt's – listen, those guys – it was a great show, great run. I don't begrudge anybody their high salaries at all.
I just begrudge your BS story. There's no way Matthew Perry was working out at the gym.
Yeah, he wasn't in there. You're right. Aniston was – and you know who was in there a lot back in the day was McConaughey.
You know, McConaughey, I met I walked across him once. My brother actually spent some time with him at UT because, you know, he's an Austin guy. You don't really, like, you could, even this is when he was, like, working out. Not like now, like, you know, AIDS Matthew McConaughey, but Dallas Buyers Club. I mean, pre-AIDS McConaughey. For a role, I mean, I don't know, he could have Daniel Day-Lewis, he could be method acting, we don't know.
Yeah, not right up there. Early stages of AIDS are great. You know, like you lose all your body fat because attention and presence is fantastic. You know, there's nothing not to love about the first 6 months. But after that, yeah, you end up looking like Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, it ends up being pretty rough and you look like Jared Leto. But my brother was there and you could fit him in your back pocket. He's not a big guy.
No.
But you know what I mean, though, Dean? It's like, it's not like he's not particularly short. It's just very finely featured. Like a lot of actors are just very just bird bones, just sort of small, and that's people don't realize that's why they look so big on camera. Because, for example, Arnold was never that strong for his size. He had small joints, so large muscle bellies. So at 230, he looked massive.
Yeah, he's not that. He's small. He's shorter than I am.
What are you, 6'1", 6'2"?
I'm 6.
Really? He's short. My dad met him a long time ago, back when it was just bodybuilding. He said he was like 6 foot. He's probably shrunk.
Yeah. He's probably shrunk a little. That just tends to happen as we age. But yeah, he's not that tall.
He was depositing his powers into that ugliest maid who ever lived, and it just drained him.
Man, we're simple creatures, man. You know what I mean? You hang around long enough.
Yeah, but why would he risk it for like literally the ugliest person?
I can confirm this actually. I mean, you know, when you spend a lot of time with a lot of different men, you realize men are basically, you know, very, very easy to deal with and fundamentally all the same. Women are, you know, can be very different. Women can be very difficult to figure out. And women can be, you know, very, very mystifying maybe I would think that, but you know, men basically all the same.
Well, hold on a second.
You know why he did that?
Why?
Because she was there.
Yeah, I guess it makes sense. Hold on a second. Gay Jared wants to say something.
We just got called BS here because Dean, IMDb says list 5'11 and a half.
Oh, are you one of those guys who's 5'11 and you say 6?
Oh, no. I was measured in Buffalo at 5'11 and 5'6 when they measured in the NFL. So I was 1/6 of an inch short. Now, hey, listen, I may have shrunk. I don't know. It's possible.
Okay.
Maybe it's a different product.
Different product in the hair. Get some putty you can pull.
Oh, hey, because I see your hair is kind of popping up there, Crowder. I can throw it up a little bit, but I can't get – my hair, I'm 6'2". Easy.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. I was 6 – I mean, I'm like high-end 6'2", more really 6'3 when I was measured, but I have 2 herniated discs now, and that'll take you down a little bit. Yep. But, yeah, still, I mean, listen, 6 foot, what are you, 215, 220? Yeah, so we're about the same. You're a little more compact. You have some Samoan in you, don't you? Or is it just Asian?
Japanese, but I'll play Samoan for the right price.
get off my beach, buddy. Hey, bro, this is our surf cove. That's pretty much every Samoan role. And then they have you come in and be like when they're protesting a non-redhead playing Little Orphan Annie. Like, hey, there's not a lot of roles out for his brother. I'm sorry. Milo, you have to do some BBC thing, right? Do I have to let you go or you have time?
Yeah, I will actually probably in the next 90 seconds, so I'm glad you said so. I've completely forgotten about it. There's probably a car waiting for me somewhere. Yeah, I do actually.
All right. Well, listen, okay, we'll keep Dean on because he doesn't have to go to the BBC, and we'll wrap it up with him where where he doesn't have to feel so uncomfortable because you're clearly undressing him with your eyes. Milo, where should people find you?
You can't tell. You can't tell because I'm on a phone in today. So you have no idea how lascivious. I could be naked. I could be touching it, but I'm not, just so you know. I'm not doing any of those things. thank you, Stephen, for setting this up. And it's awesome to speak to you, Dean. Thanks so much. Both. Thanks, guys.
I'm
following Milo now, though.
Okay, there you go. All right.
So you're saying, where can you follow him? How can you follow him? You were finished.
Yeah, that's right. Where do people follow you, Milo? Because it's not your name. So where do people best find you?
Oh, well, I've named myself on Twitter as my favorite Roman emperor, who was, you know, his only failing was all of that burning Christian stuff. But otherwise, he was great. It's Nero. So you can follow me at Nero or Milo.Yiannopoulos on Facebook, which you'll have to copy and paste from somewhere, possibly from the description below this video.
Yes.
And look out for my columns on Breitbart and my book about Gamergate comes out at the end of the year. And that's pretty much me. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Milo. Jared, Gay Jared, hang up
Cheers,
on him.
Guys.
And all right, Dean.
Milo, when you're watching this, if you want me to write a little endorsement of Gamergate, I'm all on your side 100%.
Well, I'm going to take you up on that. I'll DM you
Good.
Later.
Done.
Right. There you go. Oh,
thanks, guys.
This is what happens. See, the show starts off as a legit show, and it becomes just a pickup bar.
That's it.
Not only that, but we just ended Dean Cain's career by outing him as a Gamergate supporter. I'm happy.
Not a chance. Bring it.
All right. Bye, Milo. We're hanging you
Cheers.
Up. Bye.
Take care, guys. Bye.
Lovely chap, isn't he, Dean?
He is. He is extremely smart and witty, and I'll go on with him anytime.
Yes. Well, depends where he's going. You don't want to go.
Yeah, I'll go on the show with him anytime.
Yes, he'll go on the show with him anytime.
Actually, I'd probably go anywhere with him. He's all right in my book.
That started, it's funny, there was a rumor that started that I remember that I was gay because I was with, well, I don't want to out him, but he's another conservative who's openly gay, but he doesn't talk about it a lot. And so I went with him in New York to like a gay bar, but it wasn't like a gay nightclub. It was just a place where, I mean, I lived in Chelsea. And so this rumor came out that I was gay. And I was like, oh, okay.
Well, if you lived in Chelsea, you are gay, right?
Well, I was the only – my roommate was
Chelsea's
gay.
Chelsea's awesome. No, listen, that's – whatever.
Well, no, Chelsea in New York, sorry. In Chelsea,
yeah,
New York City, yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. I like Chelsea.
Yeah.
yeah, that whole thing – I mean, sometimes you have to remind people that being gay means you have sex with men if you're a man. So that's the thing that sometimes surprises people. They're like, oh, when I was doing Superman, they saw me in the boots and the cape, and they were like, well, you have to be gay. And I was like, well, that requires having sex with men, and that's not what I do. But that's
– Well, you know, you don't have to write it off completely.
Hey, listen. I'm
not for your fans. You just leave it open to the imagination, Dean.
Ambiguous.
Yes, like leave it.
15-year-old son.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Well, you know.
Kind of gives it away.
Yeah, I guess. But you never know. I mean, David Bowie did Mick Jagger, right?
Oh, did he?
Well, that was the rumor. I don't know if it was true.
Like, wow.
You never heard that rumor? Mick Jagger and David Bowie?
I don't ascribe too much validity to rumor.
Well, imagine being his son at the lunch table.
Well, yeah, that's
a topper, if anything.
That kind of wins.
Might add the fireman. I might add the David Bowie. we won't get DQ. So listen, you don't let yourself go like a lot of people who are sort of, you know, heartthrobs. A lot of, like, it seems like, how old are you? Can I ask?
49 Friday.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
What day is this airing?
Friday.
It's my birthday. I'm 49.
It's your birthday. Happy. You sure it's not 50?
50's coming around. Listen, I'm not missing. I'm not miscounting. I was born in 1966. I'm taking 50. I'll be better at 50 than I am at 49. I promise you that without a doubt.
Is it just the Asian skin deal, or do you do like microdermabrasion? Do you do some Botox?
The Asian thing helps. Plus, you know, I just don't do drugs. I don't jerk around. I'm a pretty straightforward guy. I work hard. I raise my kid and hang out with my family. And I don't do anything that's going to impact me really terribly. And I go to the doctor and get regular checkups, and I'm just a regular dude.
Yeah, my dad doesn't get regular checkups. Just 2 weeks ago, I got cancer.
Oh, you did?
No, my dad.
Your dad. That's not my dad had cancer, but he's not my biological father, so yeah. There's no hereditary danger. But
why the hell is Gay Jared laughing at cancer? What's wrong with you? Why are you laughing?
Just how flippantly you brought cancer into this conversation. just dropped it.
Oh, my dad had cancer as well and survived that. So
yeah, no, he's fine. They cut it out. It was a aggressive form of melanoma, and people got offended because that same week we had people send in their best cancer jokes. And,
you should be able to joke about anything.
Yeah, I know. Well, especially I'm like, well, I have a cancer past. My dad has it. people got so offended.
Well, listen, people are going to get offended no matter what, but that's the wonderful gift of satire.
This is true. Let me ask you something. Okay, and then we'll go back, and then I'll let you go.
Sure.
What's your training regimen like now? What do you do to stay in shape?
Well, I'm actually starting to train a little bit now just because, being a dad, and my biggest problem is I have psoriasis, so I have psoriatic arthritis. Now, that is a problem. That's an aggressive disease that goes after your joints. So there'd be days I would wake up where I was just like something was swollen, an ankle, a knee, or whatever. Yeah. It's debilitating. So that's the problem I've been fighting for the last 10 years. And I've been fighting it. It's been hard. And I still be able to work out.
I didn't know that came from psoriasis because I have some pretty bad joint problems. And I've always got the dry, patchy skin in the winter, but I don't know if that's psoriasis.
I have psoriasis full blown. It was all over my head. It was on my arms and things. I had to take medication for that. But what it's become more now is I'm working with a group called the Beverly Hills Rejuvenation Center, and I'm balancing my hormones because they were all jacked up. And that has – my psoriasis is 90% better. I don't take any Enbrel or any of the, or those things anymore. I had to take for a couple of years stuff like that to attack it. And the reality is balancing my hormones is changing my life.
How do they do that? Do they do it like basil or something?
They do a full – you do a full blood workup and they check out what you're missing and what things are up, you know, what vitamins and things. And there's – it's a large encompassing program that they have. And it's just for me specifically, it's been phenomenal. I've been doing it for a couple months now and I feel 85% better.
Was your thyroid off?
My thyroid is perfect. My brother's thyroid is jacked, but that's another story.
Yeah, that's me too. Well, because I was wondering when I went in and, you know, I had some issues at one point. It was a big part of it was just stress. I just don't cope with stress a lot. I go, and then burn myself out. I'm sure you probably do the same thing.
Then you're running on adrenaline, and that's a hard thing. I'm
cortisol.
The same. Yeah.
Yeah, and then you have,
It's amazing to do this, and, you know, vitamins and things, and I am feeling 1,000% better, and I'm able to work out again. I literally just started working out again last week.
Are you doing just basic compound lifts? Getting
real, real simple. No pain on the joints, even the shoulder work. There's no way I could injure myself. At a certain point, you know, I played football forever, and you get injured.
Yeah.
And so for anybody, you know, in their 30s, 40s, you know, you don't have to deadlift 900 pounds, and you know, there's no need for that sort of thing. That you're not competing the NFL. So you do things for strength and for, you know, endurance and just for your overall health. And so I'm learning how to work out smarter and easier.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I'm sure you were an elite level athlete. I was never, you know, I got to a point, we had Mark Ripto on, who's a strength coach. He wrote Starting Strength. And I got to a point, like a recreational total, about like 1,200 pounds. You know, I was able to deadlift 450, squat about 420 something. And at that point, my bench was never super high. Now it'd be over 300, but I'm just long arms. So that's like a recreational total. It's nothing like you would find in the NFL. But for me, that was really big with small joints. And there's only so long, right? You're redlining that engine. Yep. And then it
takes a toll.
Yeah, it takes a toll. And it's like you have to decide either between optimal performance for a short amount of time or longevity. And sometimes it's too late where you're like, man, my back's never coming back the right way after
that. But I don't think it is too late sometimes, because I was starting to feel that way. And then this is changing the way I feel. So okay. I don't know. Watch me in the next year and then we'll discuss this. And then that'll be the next big push. They'll be like, wow, he's in a lot better shape. What happened?
You know what we should do is we should get you, you know, my dad is purple belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu competitive. He's 50, just had cancer, just had it cut out, 54, and he hasn't had a point scored against him.
Holy.
We should have you and him like do a session where he teaches you some grappling and just, you know, to, you're almost 50. He's past 50, just as an inspirational deal where people are like, hey, look, I don't have to be a fat piece of crap at that age.
Exactly. But he's going to whip my ass.
Yeah. I mean, very few people he would not.
He's gonna have point scored on him. I wrestled in high school, so I know some wrestling.
Yeah.
Sort of style wrestling, but that ain't the same thing.
Well, still, that is very, very useful. A lot of people don't realize. I mean, the number one base you can have in any kind of combat sport is wrestling. And to be fair, my dad has we're very old school with Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I'm sure you're probably familiar with it, but it's sort of evolved into a hyperly technical sport. And we're both old school in that we always worked on solid takedowns and basic control, stuff that would work in an actual altercation. So he has good takedowns. Probably not as good as definitely not as good as a collegiate wrestler or anything like that. But you have a base, and if you did that, you'd have some body awareness.
Listen, he goes, take me down. I'm going to sprawl, and I'm heavy.
Well, he's more of a judo guy. It's a lot of clinch takedowns.
I hate clinches.
Yeah, we actually have a Damn It Feels Good to Be a Gangster. We have like a montage of him and his jiu-jitsu tournaments and doing this lifting stuff. He's like, why did you put that out? Why'd you put that out on the internet? I'm like, because
it's awesome. He's like, because it's awesome.
All right. Okay.
You do it, you're 54, and that's how it should be.
Well, he had his groin ripped off the bone. You know what happened? Are you familiar with jiu-jitsu, what guard is? The guard position? It's basically like
you're
missionary.
In the guard, sure.
Yeah, you're on your back with your legs around the guy.
Sure.
So that you can still submit a guy like Hoist Gracie, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Top him in a triangle. You can do all kinds
of things. There you go.
There you go. I pay a lot of attention.
Okay. So this is what happened. And I remember we had a guy. I'll just use his name. We'll call him I. We'll call his name I because his name started with an I. Yeah, rhymed with Ian. So he was out there and he's a very nice guy. But he was always he was new and he was very spazzy, you know, pretty strong. And so what we're doing is guard passing drills. So we're doing is a guard break.
Oh my gosh, in a drill.
Yeah, in a drill. So what's happening is, you know, the guy's you're in his closed guard. I'm trying to describe it for people who don't know. Because people are going, yes, it's boring. But you put your hands on the hips and you stand up and you break open the guard at that point. So you have leverage, right? So you put one down, you keep your elbows in so you don't get armbarred, and then you pass. So my dad at this point already had an injured groin, pulled. And you know how it is. If you play football, you have to be aware. And so at this point, I'm like, hey, Dad, you know, you should probably sit this out. I'm always very protective of him. And he's like, no, I should be fine. So he turns to this guy. He goes, hey, listen, you know, for the drill, just get up.
Take it easy.
Yeah, he goes, I'll open the guard and just do the let's just do the passing. Don't do the guard break. And the guy goes, oh, yeah, sure. The timer gets set. The guy literally – and I hear, pop, 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 crack. And I look over – and my dad just like sitting there, like not crying, but the eyes are just watering. Like he's been hit in the nose. He's just like holding it. And so I went over to this Indian market next door and got some ice. And then I choked the guy pretty bad because, you have to.
As you should.
Yeah. But it was in a match, you know, and I didn't choke him unconscious, but I was like, I held it a little bit longer because he was warned.
You should have choked him unconscious. You should have probably.
Well, he's a nice guy, but he did.
You ripped my dad's groin. I'm probably going to choke you unconscious.
Yeah, well, he just wrecked the guy after that when he recovered. He's just – I mean, he's bigger than me, so he probably walks around about like 230-ish and 6'2", you know, played hockey at U of M, athlete.
He's
so.
A real athlete guy.
Yeah.
But still, he should have known better.
Yeah.
Did your dad have to get that surgically repaired or
– no. I don't know if it was torn off. I should say that was exciting. All I know is it was like blue and purple almost all the way down to his knee.
That's a problem.
So, but he just didn't do anything for a long time, and we do a lot of like right now I have a pretty serious back injury, so I haven't done jiu-jitsu in a few months, but every day I'll get on you probably know the Airdyne if you wrestled. I'll get on the Airdyne and just mentally I go through positions and literally just mentally treat it like a grappling session every single day.
Well, it's a lot mental.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you find that when you were away from training, were you thinking about it as a guy?
Always. I always thought it was like daydreaming. Right. Everybody's like, oh, you have to visualize. I was like daydreaming. I'd be sitting in class listening to music or something like that. Or you know, I was a very quiet guy pre-game, but I was just running through everything in my head. I was daydreaming. I guess I was visualizing. I called it daydreaming. I was sort of seeing a play that I know is coming, stepping in, making the right play, doing all those same things, the right move, the right position, the right reads. And I ran that over in my head, but I wasn't taught to do that. It just naturally came to me. But that visualizing that, because that's the next thing. You visualize, you do it, you're used to it. You're ready for it. It's not a surprise when it happens. That's the same thing with every move you're going to find in wrestling.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But you couldn't – did you know what was coming with American Gladiators? Because I don't think people expected that.
No, not at all. You don't know anything about what you're going to do.
No, I mean, did you know that you were going to be really good and just people just kind of like, oh, you know, Clark Kent.
Oh.
Because, I mean, you wrecked that.
I ruined my ankle 3 days before that happened. I've since had it surgically repaired, but I couldn't walk the day before the competition. So I promise you I would have wrecked that a lot more had I been able to walk. But
did you get a cortisone injection?
Pardon me?
Did you get a cortisone?
No, nothing. Nothing at all.
Have you seen this, Gay Jared?
I taped it up.
Okay, Jared hasn't seen this. Yeah, it's like viral now. It's a stuff of legend. Gene Kane went into American Gladiator, like celebrity American Gladiator, and I mean, he was the best ever. Like, he just wrecked the course. These big, muscle-bound guys who were probably doing juice, some of those guys. They're like, I'm going to block you. And Gene Kane just like, nope, and just deked him out. You've not seen this?
No, but it sounds like a Gene Kane them.
Yes.
Do you still get letters? You must get letters about that.
I do. You know what's really funny? I get people mention it. It's funny. My sister went to that and loved it. She said it was so exciting. It's insane. She said it was more exciting than any of my football games. It was just this – you're because everybody's packed on top of you like a high school basketball, you know, gym right. or something. So everybody's there. It was a lot of fun. And it was all in good fun, and I enjoyed the heck out of it. But, you know, it's the funny thing is that things can go viral now. They can be on and be seen. People were always saying, well, I heard you played football and you were a good football player. And I couldn't find anything on the internet, any game or anything. So right. A buddy of mine just did it this week. He edited together. We had one little highlight tape from my senior year of the whole school, of the whole, you know, season for each game was sort of broken down, the few plays. And then one televised game. And he edited that into something. And I just posted it on YouTube. And so if you want to know what kind of a college football player I was, then because everybody's like, you played in the NFL? How did you do that? Well, that's how I did it. So there's now a highlight sort of set to music thing of the football days, which should beat the tar out of that Gladiators tape.
Okay. I'm sorry. He probably is like, he's like, that's not my best foot forward, Gladiators.
No,
here's the real
Dean
Kane.
But that was so much fun. But the thing is, most people who like, you're not going to get Tom Cruise competing in American Gladiators. You're not going to get a lot of people competing because they're afraid to compete because they don't think they're going to end up looking good.
Yeah, it destroys the facade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would be a terrible. I was a terrible athlete. Horrible. I mean, I was so skinny, and like it took me a long time to grow until I found. And even then, I sure wouldn't consider myself. I'm a hobbyist who's pretty good. I grew up way later, and then the combat, the just grappling was just sort of the thing where it was like it was the one sport where everything just fit. But basketball.
I think my son might be there.
Is he
that kind of a guy? Well, he's just starting to get into it. He's also 15, and he's 6'1", 185 pounds. He's just a big old dude who really doesn't know how to do everything. He hasn't grown into – even when he starts running, it's all a little bit awkward-y, and he just hasn't grown into that body yet, and it's still growing. I mean, the kid sleeps 15 hours a day.
Well, gosh, he's 15. I'll tell you what. When I graduated high school, I was young. I was 16. I graduated, and I listed 6'1", like 160, and I was lying by like 20 pounds. When I competed in judo my senior year, I competed in the 144 division, and I weighed myself with a juice box in hand. And it's funny. that's actually a story what happened. I remember that was the first time I ever competed. I was a jiu-jitsu guy, and there weren't any tournaments back then. And I wasn't ranked. There was like a grappling club for troubled kids at school. And I was like I wasn't really a troubled kid because I came in like, well, does your dad beat the shit out of you or something? I'm like, no, I'm just here because like, I just want to learn jiu-jitsu. There was no, I'm like, oh, okay. And I was like kind of okay, but I wasn't great. And then I was like, well, let me go into judo. And there was this crazy Romanian communist who taught me. And he was like, well, go compete. So I don't really know the rules in judo at this point. I'm thinking jiu-jitsu, right, where I'm just trying to drag a guy down and choke him. And what it was, you know, there's something called ippon, which is if you throw someone hard on their back or it's a clean throw, it's like a knockout. So I didn't even know that. And I go into the tournament, and the first thing is, like, this guy comes just charging him. He's like, ah! And I just trip him and throw him, like, hard on his back. And then they call it, but I'm choking him. I'm like, stop it. So they were like in a penalizer. It's like, okay. So then the next one happens. So I'm like, oh, okay. So this is the rule. So then match two, and I was like, I was maybe a yellow or orange, and this guy was like a green because there weren't enough people. And I remember the one thing I was always good at was I'm very good at pulling. So I just pulled him in a clinch, and I accidentally pulled him in and we headbutted.
And he went sleepy?
No, it was the opposite. I remember. Oh. I remember he got headbutted, and then he goes, I remember his reaction clear as day. He goes, he's just like that. Literally, like, he starts hitting his face. And then the ref is like, hey, are you okay? He's like, okay. And he's like bleeding from his nose, and then he comes back, like looking at me like, and I'm thinking like, oh my gosh, this guy's gonna be really mad. He's gonna kick my ass. And I threw him.
Yeah. the fight went in a little puddle on the floor. His fight was gone.
But I just remember it was so weird. Wow. I was like, you're a 50. It was 60. I'm like, you're a 16. He's like, oh.
There goes back to the Mike Tyson comment. Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face.
Yeah, but he was furious, though. But your son, you know, the good thing about jiu-jitsu is, and I think this is what it was for me, you can adapt it to your body type. You don't have to be a specific, you know, if he's tall and lanky, he can be flexible. You know, you have world champions in every division and different body types, different skill sets. It always helps to be strong and powerful. It always helps to be athletic. But, you know, you have some people who are not super quick. Like Roger Gracie is the best jiu-jitsu guy ever. Horrible in MMA.
That Gracie name. Oh, yeah, but he's the great. Oh,
yeah, horrible in MMA, but great in jiu-jitsu. And he choked out everyone at the Worlds. I think it was seven people with the same submission. And it's the submission you learn at white belt, the most basic one. And all he would do is he would just lock you down, get slowly reverse you, get to mount, and cross collar choke you. And he's not particularly athletic. He's strong enough. But he's just tall and he's able to use his leverage properly. And it's like in no other sport can a guy like that do that and be world class, you know? And then you have probably guys like you who are very athletic, who are, you know, skipping around and doing all the moves. But you should get your son in it.
I'm going to. Actually, Boss Rutten has a gym.
Yes.
Right near my son's school. And we're signed up there. I'm paying for it. We're not currently going because I got to get the kid on the right program, but it's summertime. It's tough. But he has promised to go ahead and go in there. And he went in one session, was kicking, came out. We stood up for a second. Kid kicks me in the thigh, boom. And I was like, okay, you can't kick me like that. And literally my leg went.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, well, you have a strong kick, but please don't do that anymore if we're going to goof around. But I mean, like, strong. So I know he has it in him. And I want him to get committed to that. He's discovered girls now. So now he wants to get jacked.
Right.
Just that. And I'm like, if you want to do that, get the greatest shape, just go do this and then you're in good shape.
Yeah.
Like,
that's okay. Just weightlifting.
Yeah. Just even the training, body training for him to sit there for an hour and kick or whatever he's doing, he will, you know, cause he's 15, he's got all that stuff flowing through him. He'll be in great shape in no time.
He's 15. I always wonder, like, do you feel like you don't want to shake his hand? Because he's 15, you're like,
No way. I don't.
You gotta be careful. You're like, oh, you're at that age where
I just don't bug him when he closes the door. I don't care if he's in the bathroom for an hour and a half or whatever.
That was there's a new movie with Vince Vaughn. No one saw it, and he walks in on his son. And the door's closed. He's like, listen, okay, I understand what's going on here, right? I understand if you're working there. If I work now, I would retire at 14. Listen, the point is no crimes being committed here, okay? But if you're going to be working on yourself, I want you to – you can't lock the door. Your sister's going to come in here. I want you working on yourself in the bathroom. And I was just sitting there. It wasn't a great movie, but, you know, Vince Vaughn is just one of those guys who can enter in a scene, just steal
and just
it.
Talk for half an hour, and it's hysterical.
Yeah, I know.
That's his. My son closed the door. It's his time. And it's just he and I. So I'm a single dad. I don't have to know what's going on. I'll go to the other side of the house.
Just put on those headphones and cancel the noise.
I don't
want to
hear any thumps or anything. I don't want to hear anything.
No.
There's a picture of Hannah Davis in his room now.
Of who?
I know that. Hannah Davis. She was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. I don't know.
I don't know who that is.
Hannah Davis. She's pretty.
Yeah, I would assume so. Except yeah. the only one who is not pretty on the cover of Sports Illustrated is going to sound terrible. Okay, don't say this is a racist thing, people. Okay. It was not the original shoot, but the Tyra Banks reshoot of her Sports Illustrated cover. I don't know if you saw that.
I don't recall.
Okay, so this is what happened. She was the first black swimsuit model on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Beautiful photo. Very beautiful woman. Now, it's no secret that Tyra Banks' weight has fluctuated.
Ah.
And then in for Black History Month, she's like, in honor of Black History Month, I am going to recreate the photo shoot of the first black woman on the cover of Sports Illustrated. I was like, oh my gosh, that's great. It was me. She just redid the photo shoot. I was like, what is this? So I guess it's more so the attitude that made it unattractive. I mean, you're doing an homage to yourself with yourself.
With yourself.
I'd be like Dean Cain saying, in honor of the original Superman, I am going to put on the Dean Cain.
I'm going to be on it again. Yeah. Well, you know what? I am playing Supergirl's dad in the new Supergirl series. I do play her father. I can't talk about I play her father.
We should have led with that.
Well, you know, we can get back there. We'll bring Milo back. We'll tech.
I have no idea.
Well, we start shooting that. They started shooting now. So,
I feel so bad because I'll be honest. I kind of trashed the trailer for that.
No, go ahead. Everybody has an opinion. I loved the trailer, so shame on you. But she is fantastic.
She seems good.
She is. She's so likable, and she's got that sense about her where it's not ego, it's just excitement and positivity. She's going to be a superstar, and she's great.
Well, the reason I trashed it, though, was because there was some – it was either Vox or BuzzFeed who was like – it came on the heels of the Black Widow thing. And like, so here's the strong feminist hero. And my angle was like, actually, if you watch this trailer, it's kind of like – let's bake cookies for the boys. Like, it's kind of like – it really wasn't like, you know, what they were talking about with Black Widow. I don't remember what it was. I remember watching it going like, why isn't BuzzFeed talking about this? I'd have to go back and read it. But it was a feminism angle because they were all over the Black Widow thing. Do you remember that?
I don't even recall it at all.
Jeremy Renner said – they were like, who's Black Widow in a relationship with? Was it a press –
She
said she's a slut.
Well, she's a slut, yeah. I heard that. I don't even recall that, but I mean, I don't know how that even fits in, but I'll tell you.
It fits in because they were all mad. They're like, oh, so we're all female superhero sluts. No. And then this Supergirl thing came out and I was like, listen, I can't not have an opinion. You say that's because I hate female superheroes. So is it Jeremy Renner was getting all this flack? And by the way, Black Widow was a total slut. She slept with everybody.
Right. There you go. Sometimes you got to call, you know, a widow a widow.
Yes, exactly.
But Supergirl is pretty female empowering. The show is very female empowering, and it's going to be good. Because she's so positive, and it's such a great. It's got that sense of humor and that sense of fantasy and romance that Lois and Clark had.
Yes,
the current Superman film certainly is way darker and doesn't have any romance or any humor. The last one that came out with Henry Cavill.
Yeah, I know. I'll tell you what. Everyone's just like really looking forward to Batman versus Superman, and then this goes going way too long, and then I'll let you go, but. Batman versus Superman. Did you watch the trailer?
I did not see the trailer. I don't.
Don't
I
mean, BS me. You have a Google alert set for that stuff.
I will. I'll watch it after we talk. But I didn't see it. Listen, I hope it's great. I hope Henry's a nice guy. Ben's a good guy. And I know them both. I hope it's fantastic. But if it was really Batman versus Superman, it's a two second short. Batman, Superman, over.
Yeah, I know.
Put some fist through his chest and it's done.
I think he has like an iron suit.
Oh, really?
In the preview.
By the way, it better be lead instead of iron, because if it's iron, he's going to punch right through it anyway.
Really?
It's lead. It's lead. Only he can't see through lead. You know, Superman can't see through lead. I don't know what an iron suit would do. I think he'd just rip it. There'd be a little human appendage inside of it. You know? I don't know.
It'd be like bacon wrapped shrimp just in the
head. Exactly. Like, nice. I haven't seen it, but I'll watch it and I will have an informed opinion.
It just looks, like you said, it just looks completely humorless.
Well, I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
I like the humor. Guardians of the Galaxy, phenomenal. I thought it was great.
I loved
hysterical.
It.
Hysterical. That sense of humor has to be in there, in my opinion.
Right. So. No, you're absolutely right. And, it's I don't know. Gay Jared like loved it, and he was just going gaga over the trailer. And my thing was,
maybe he's a little dark.
Yeah, Gay Jared's a little dark. You have a dark side to you.
I mean, I don't like to blast it out there and promote it, but it's true.
there's a blackness in my heart.
There's a blackness in his heart that can only be filled with men named Lyle. You're off. The point is, like, if you watch it, okay. Did you ever see The Watchmen?
Yeah, little bits and pieces.
It didn't
appeal to me.
No, it was honestly, like, to me, was unwatchable.
That's why I didn't watch it.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. I could not do it. Now, The Dark Knight, I think, is one of the best films ever, and that was dark, but it was done in a way. Yeah.
A great story, and it fit.
Yeah, The Watchmen, and I was like, well, have you read the comics? Like, well, I did dabble in the comics, and that's kind of what this looks like. Batman versus Superman, really, really dark. Everything is CGI. Everything, which for me, I was like, gets to a certain point where it's like, that's why I couldn't get into Jurassic World. It looked more fake than Jurassic Park.
I didn't see Jurassic World. Maybe that's the same reason.
Chris Pratt's a good guy, from what I hear.
I like Chris Pratt. I think he's fantastic. I love that he's reinvented himself from the funny, heavier guy on Parks and Recreation to the studly dude. I think he started that by playing a seal in Lone Survivor. And then he realized, damn, I look pretty good. And he'd get other offers, and then he moved from there.
Well, he was actually pretty pretty hot stuff on the show Everwood. He played like the older brother who was kind of hunky. And then he went to Andy. Yeah, it was like a WB show. You probably wouldn't watch it so much. Unless it was Smallville. I'm sure you checked it. Did you have any cameos?
I was on it. I was on one episode. Oh, once Christopher Reeve did an episode, and once he did, I felt an obligation to have to. If my predecessor did so, I had to.
Did you call him up, or did they –
They called and were trying to work out something that would be fun for a long time. And finally, I think season 7, I did an episode. It was fun.
Well, he's a big guy, right? That Tom Welling?
Yeah, he's a big dude. He's a big old country kind of big. Like, he's a big dude.
Yeah.
Like, thick, big dude. He's probably 6'3", 6'4", just a big, thick dude.
Oh, okay. So there you go. But did you tackle
him? He's probably still – could I tackle him?
Did you tackle him?
No, I never tackled him. But could I? Yeah. I can tackle anybody. I'll tackle anybody. But no, he's a big dude. I mean, he's clearly bigger than me, but a really nice guy.
Yeah, I've always heard good things about him. All right, I won't keep you. Dean Cain, where's the best place for people to find you? Obviously, Supergirl. Stay tuned.
Supergirl, yeah. Well, I'm hosting Masters of Illusion right now in the CW. Season 3 of Hit the Floor comes out. There's a lot of other stuff going on, but those are the things that are on right now. And they can follow me on Twitter at Real Dean Cain. I'll say some things to piss some people off. And
oh my gosh! No, well, your fans—it's almost like the gay squad with Cher. If you say anything bad about Dean Cain, like how dare you? Dean Cain is a lovely man.
Good job. I appreciate them fighting for me. That's good. You get enough people hate. Listen, Twitter, it's just so funny. The Twitter tough guys—they kill me. But I tweet Twitter. I treat Twitter. Ooh. Tongue-tied. The same as I would, you know, like talking to somebody in their face. There's nothing I'm going to say on Twitter that I wouldn't say to your face, and I think everybody should treat it that way.
I have to be that way, too. That's why I just had to, like, I was like, well, I kind of crapped all over Supergirl trailer. I just have to be honest about it. I don't know, like, because I don't want you to read it from somewhere else, but like, Steven, put on a face. Like, no, I remember I didn't like the trailer, but I will give it a shot.
Okay. But that's all right. It may not be for you. That's just it. But see, people shouldn't be afraid to say it. Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to give the show a shot. Again, the trailer came in and I saw it somewhere. The article I read was tinged with like a feminist angle on it. So right. Anytime that happens, you're like, okay, someone's trying to feed me something. So I've got to process this. And the Black Widow thing I do get a little upset. Not upset. I just get annoyed with like the whole like, you know, like Black Widow. Okay. First off, Black Widow is just a terrible superhero. Okay. She knows no real superpowers and she's a woman. Like, Scarlett Johansson is not going to kick – I don't care how many Krav Maga people you have come on the set. You're going to get your ass kicked by anybody, like any man, and then most female athletes who know how to throw a jab. And it's like we all have to – like, no, if you don't, you're just – no, I'm just like it's just tough to buy. Now, Supergirl you can buy because she's basically an alien life form.
She is an alien life form. No, basically. She is.
She's going to go full species and then like just
going
devour.
Species. That was awesome. Was that not awesome? The original species was Natasha Henstridge. That was amazing.
It was just like boobs, boobs, boobs.
Yes. One of my favorite pictures.
Really?
Well, you just described it. That's basically my favorite movie.
Well, there's a place now called the internet. You don't have to have the species VHS.
But there wasn't back then.
This is true.
The VHS.
What is she doing? Does she still do anything?
Yeah, she still works all the time. She does, you know, she does different films. I've seen her on all kinds of different stuff. She still works.
Okay.
It's tougher for a woman than it is for a man.
It is.
As you age. There's no question. And it's not because I made it so. Or you, but that's just the reality of it. You know, it's like the social status of college people. Male senior is probably the highest ranking social spot in college, and the second highest is going to be freshman female, and the lowest is a freshman male. It's just the social status. It's the way it kind of worked. At least it was where I went to school, and I think it's pretty similar today. You know, the young male, you know, you're the young cub. You don't have any status until you're a senior. But right behind them is the freshman female.
Yeah, I guess I didn't even really think about that. That's a good point.
I've thought about this extensively.
Yes, I was going to say.
The college social hierarchy.
You've done your due diligence.
I didn't create it. I just am noting it.
Yeah, I guess I never made it that. I didn't graduate, so I didn't spend a lot of time.
You never even got there. You never got to the pinnacle.
Yeah, but I was just such a loudmouth that I was like, I might as well have been
You should create a show with that loudmouth theme and just call it Louder No,
I am not.
That probably won't work.
The name escapes me, and hopefully we'll get some superheroes on the program along with blatantly homosexual superfans and see how it goes. All right, Dean, we won't keep you, but listen, thank you so much. We'll get this up on radio. We'll get this up on the YouTubes, and I will check out your football highlight.
Check that out. I'll feel better because damn it, American Gladiators was not the best thing I've ever done.
I wasn't saying it was just an impressive performance.
No, I'm just kidding. No. Well, it's the funny thing is people go, you played the NFL? Really? Yeah. 30 years ago, 25 years ago.
Well, it's basically just you, as far as like really serious athletes in the entertainment industry, it's basically you and Ed O'Neill.
Ed was good.
Yeah, Ed was no joke, and people don't realize that. It's not the pretty boy. See, who are you talking about?
Kevin. Here comes the boom. Kevin James.
Boss Rutten said, you know, he's like, Kevin James hits the pads harder than anybody I've ever worked. And people are like, oh, you're saying that because he's a celebrity. He's like, hey,
Kevin,
if Boss says that, it's going to be the truth. Okay. And he was really mad.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Boss Rutten.
He's
amazing.
Does he,
he teaches there. So I haven't met him yet.
Oh, you haven't met him yet?
But after I meet him, he's going to change his statement. Kevin James hit them very hard. Dean Cain, it's the most hard of anyone ever.
It's kind of, but you kind of make him sound like Oddjob.
That's all I had. I don't voice very well.
Well, I tell you what, tell him we want him on the program.
Okay.
Because he's also actually, you don't know this, he's a conservative. He's a Megyn Kelly fan.
All right.
And be careful. He's a perfect example. The guy was just, he had a really serious neck issue. So you can see one of his arms is like degenerated. And it's just sad to see. And he's very open about it. It's like you can't operate at that level for that long. But he was a stud. Well, Pat Miletich was a good friend of mine who does a lot of commentating with him. And he said in his prime, no one was a better striker than Pal Surutin.
It was his kicks that frightened me.
Oh, my gosh.
Just frightening.
Thunderous. Thunderous. And then I think it was Krokop who even said, like, yeah, we fooled around.
Krokop says his kicks or something.
Yeah, well, he was on the juice, though, Krokop. He was open. He was like, you know how you know? Because Chick Congo accused him of being on the juice, and he never said no. He's like, oh, and I suppose Chick Congo just ate his vegetables? And I was like,
yeah, there's a tacit admission, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, And then he came to the States, you know, and he was like 5 pounds heavier and, you know, with 5% higher body fat, but he was an incredible athlete. Anyway, see, we keep trying to let you go on there, but yeah, tell him we want him on the program because it's Boss Rutten for crying out loud.
He's amazing.
He's a great person.
He was really hysterical in that. Oh, by the way, Ed Marinaro was a great athlete too, who's an actor.
Oh, yeah.
Will Hillstreet, he went to Cornell, played running back, went to the NFL for a long time. A great guy. There's a number of them out there.
That's true. There is a number of them out there. I just mean, like, you know, people, they think, oh, the guys who are in the best shape are the people on Gossip Girl. It's like, you know, you can fit them in your back pocket. You know, Ed O'Neill, you know, he's a multiple degree black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu under Henner, right out to Henner Gracie.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah. He's no joke. And so was Michael Clark Duncan was a purple belt under Henner Gracie.
Yeah. Michael I knew and loved, and it was good that he was a purple, and I love Michael and God rest his soul, but I played basketball with him. Not his sport.
No, not his sport.
Not his sport.
Unless you're playing street rules.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's the
nicest guy on the planet.
Yeah, I've heard, well, Henner just always, you know, Henner was one of the pallbearers, and I've only heard good things, but that's a perfect example. Like, a guy like that, who's that big, it might as well be a different species when you're 340, you know what I mean, and that ripped. And you add on top of it knowledge of jiu-jitsu, it's like, you just pray he just doesn't feel like raping you that day because there's nothing you could
do. Nothing you can do.
And it's a very helpless feeling.
Yeah. You know what you can do? You can suck your thumb and just take it.
just
take it.
Find your happy place.
Yeah, find your get to my happy place.
Find my happy place.
Because there's nothing else going to happen.
No, there's nothing you can do about it. And it's like, and I think especially like you're a big guy, I'm a relatively big guy, and with knowledge, you're like, well, in most instances, I'd be able to not embarrass myself. And then Michael Clark Duncan happens, and you're like, I just have to take, like, or Brock Lesnar.
Happy place. You know, find your happy place.
Just find your happy place.
I just did a movie called Vendetta with Big Show. WWE.
Oh, yeah. He's not as mobile, though.
No, not as mobile. He's got a knee thing, and he's 7 foot, you know, 350 pounds.
Yeah.
But we had to fight all the time, and we're doing our fights and things, and boy, he just missed on a real short right that literally grazed my nose, which would have reset my face. And I hit him square in the forehead, an uppercut, square, right in the forehead.
Nothing.
And no, he looks up and just goes, come on. And I was like, I don't know what that means. And can we cut real quick? Because I don't know. He went, just let's keep going.
Yeah.
But I thought maybe I made him angry and then he wanted to thump me, in which case I would start running.
Right.
Use my speed.
You could hit a low single, get him down, and like curb stomp him and run.
That'd be fun because he'd probably get up.
Yeah, he'd get up. So you just have to like – and apologize profusely as you're running away.
I'm really sorry. Maybe you'll be happy tomorrow when you catch me. And, No.
I think your self-defense is a concealed carry permit at that point.
Which is a good thing.
It's a good thing, but it's very difficult to get in L.A.
By the way. Yeah, I know.
Okay, we won't talk about. He's like, we won't talk about this on air.
Believe me, I know.
Well, Gage Aaron's actually a pretty good shot. He always makes fun of me because I'm a big revolver guy, and he has his
revolvers are amazing.
Yeah, I know. He always craps all over me for them. I don't know why.
Listen, if you need more than seven shots, six shots in your
There you go. I know you know revolvers because a seven shot is only a Smith & Wesson L frame. So you know your revolvers.
Get a little speed loader, and you're all right.
You're all right, Dean Kane. You must go. Thank you so much. We will have you back on soon.
I'd love to be on. Thank you.
All right. Take care, man. Gage Aaron, hang up. Hi, YouTube bisexual. Subscribe by clicking my face or liking one of these videos next to me. If you're not bisexual, you're still allowed to subscribe, but I won't be as happy about it.